Exploring Survival of Consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven, and they can be found at www.hugsfromheaven.com. Hugs is spelled H-U-G-Z. Tonight's guest is Dr. Maury Pressman, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number here is 888-627-6008. Good evening to you, Bob.
And hello, Fran. And you told me just before that it's a special week. This is the official Volunteer Week.
It's National Volunteer Week, April 21st to 27th. And I personally send a huge thank you out to all of our volunteers that make everything happen here every day of the week, every week of the year since we've been around, because of volunteers. And we couldn't do it without them, because we're a 100% volunteer organization.
Who better than to appreciate volunteers than an organization that is totally run by volunteers, which is not an easy thing to do in today's time. I mean,
And I think as time goes on, the general population and the way culture is evolving, we move further and further away from, or we have been moving further and further away from, the concept of just doing something because it's nice, helping out somebody because you want to help them out, or volunteering your time just to do some good. I think we've moved away from that a bit.
I've been, as everybody else, you know, following the events that have been happening in the investigation, you know, with the Boston Marathon, you know, bombing, and the latest thing that I read, and of course I don't believe every report that's coming out, but
you can't.
It's trying to follow the trail, and everybody wants to know, like, what motivated, you know, people to do, you know, such heinous things, and, you know, what gets into a human mind that can compel you to do it. And, you know, one of the stories was the older brother started to hang out with Islamic fundamentalist, and I guess in his association with this person became more and more of a zealot, and felt that the United States was demeaning, their religion, and of course politics enters into the equation, you know, as well. And, you know, as I read these things, I mean, it's another example, and it's such a shame how the purpose, the pure essence of religion, gets diluted and morphed into something that does more harm than good.
Well, that's totally contrary to the concept of religion. Religion was devised, and various religions were devised, to bring people together. And yet, when you look at all these different religions, even the goodness that they do, and religion has its very good point to it, in that it gives direction to a lot of people who are seeking direction. But because of all of the religious dogma, it becomes divisive within cultures. And that's problematic in and of itself. But if people can celebrate their likenesses instead and come together, then there's no problem in that. But like you said, when you have these terrorist groups that are evolving in the name of God or in the name of religion, it's problematic. huge.
I mean, if I had my choice, I would like to see one world religion. They're all based on.
There is one world religion. It's called spiritualism.
Yeah, well, I mean, at its core, all religions are based upon love and compassion, you know, and you know, we live in a materialistic society, and religion falls into that category because it's my religion's better than your religion, in essence, you know,
right.
It's
and
all the same thing. You know, what also gets me is that, like, for instance, every president, for as long as I can remember, ends every major speech may God bless America. Did God create countries and boundaries? God created people, you know. So is there a God that's saying, well, okay, I'm gonna bless the people that falls within these geographical boundaries, but not so much the people over there? Makes no sense.
It makes no sense, and yet we've also had presidents that, when there were catastrophes within the United States, pointed those areas out as less deserving of some godly presence. So,
right.
You know, that shows you how people are made to think, even within their own religions, which really doesn't fit in to the all-loving, compassionate themes that religions are all based on.
Yeah, I think once you have, and again, I mean, this is just my personal opinion, but once you have all of these individual religions, all with their set rules, you know, and rituals, and by themselves, there's nothing wrong with rules and rituals, but one religion's rules and rituals may conflict with another religion. So, you know, you practice your religion, and another religion takes that as an insult, you know, to their particular, you know, way of seeing things. And I would imagine... why is it so difficult to even conceive of an idea? What makes people flock to one religion over the other? Why couldn't it be one world religion? You know?
Well, I think that was what the founding fathers were trying to accomplish here, not so much one religion,
yeah,
but a place where if you had no religion or whatever religion you had, you could go on and you could practice it, and it would have nothing to do with the government. But now you're seeing some people creep into Washington wanting to bring religion into the government, and that's where we're going to have huge problems, because if you don't keep it separate, you're asking for...
So you are a follower of a religion that at its core was founded upon, you know, love and compassion, and you build a bomb and you load it with... it's not enough just to build a bomb. You have to put extra devices in there to maim and murder, you know, children and everybody else that's standing there. All in because you're upset with the way that your religion is being treated. It's so warped.
It's warped, but I think it's deeper than that. It's not so much I'm upset with the way my religion is being treated. I think it's that in the name of my religion, I need to get rid of all the other things surrounding my religion that are negative to my religion. And that's the brainwashing. That's what they're looking at through these radical organizations that they get sucked into. They're just looking for a place to belong,
but
it's so easy for them to get sucked
into. What
it
really comes down to is that my religion is the only true religion, and yours is inconsequential and blasphemous, because my God is the only true God, and your gods are fake. So, you know, so I think that's the essence of it, you know. We're going to be talking, you know, very shortly with somebody that will be able to put this into a greater perspective, as Dr. Pressman has studied the human soul for quite a while, and I'm sure he is one that feels that we are meant to follow love and compassion. So we're going to go to a break, and we come back. We're going to be joined by Dr. Maury Pressman. So stay with us. We'll be back in a few.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Paul Alexander, singer, songwriter, and licensed psychotherapist, created GriefSong.com after working in hospice providing care to bereaved families. The music of GriefSong.com offers music to support, nurture, and acknowledge the landscape of grief. Many have used Paul Alexander's music for inspiration, memorial services, and comfort. Visit GriefSong.com to hear some of the music available. The sounds of hope and healing.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Maury Pressman. Our sponsor is Hugs from Heaven, and they can be found at www.hugsfromheaven.com, and Hugs is spelled H-U-G-Z. Bob?
And I got word that Dr. Pressman will be a couple of minutes late, so he'll be joining us in just 2 or 3 minutes. He wrote a book called Living in the Supermind. Dr. Pressman's a medical doctor, a long distinguished career, and he's been studying things. I know we often, I shouldn't say often, but we've had quite a number of guests on the show who have clinical practices, and psychologists and psychiatrists, and some of them treat in traditional means, and some of them incorporate some of the things that we study into their practices. And one of the things we'll talk to Dr. Pressman about is I have a feeling he uses things like intuition. He's said things in the book where sometimes he'll know what the patient's going to say before they say it. The question is that just because you're a good doctor and you've seen it all, or are you truly having these, you know, these spiritual experiences? And in Dr. Pressman's case, I think we'll be finding out.
Precognitive experiences.
Yeah. It must be difficult for somebody in that position. I mean, he's had very esteemed, you know, positions in medical schools, but as with a lot of people that study the human mind and the human soul and other realms of existence, you may not be the most popular among your colleagues all the time. So, and that's why a lot of the people, even the people that are on our board that we deal with, I mean, you give them so much credit because they have put their professional careers really at jeopardy, you know, just by the, which is a shame when you think about it, just by the...
It's a shame that they have to do that.
Yeah.
It's not a shame that they've done it.
No, it's a shame that they have to do it, you know, because it's not the way it's supposed to be. I mean, where everybody's supposed to be able to express their views, especially among the scientific community. If you're not open to hearing the evidence, then can you really call yourself a scientist?
No, because you stifle progress. You stifle discovery. You stifle what's going on.
And you know, a lot of it has to be, well, you know, if they do acknowledge these things, then all of those years that they spent studying and learned to be the truth, they may have to reevaluate the whole education. Not only the whole education, but their whole, you know, medical practice. We've been to, you know, I mean, personally, we have been to a physician, Dr. Kelman, you know, who's on our board, who treats patients by listening, really. He's a medical doctor, but don't you find that that's the way...
It's very intuitive.
We thought it was a little unusual, but he will spend a great deal of time with you, you know, listening, and you see the wheels turning, you know, as you're talking. And it's not necessarily from a medical perspective. Part of it is, but another part is in intuiting information that he's getting from other sources. Maybe that's the future of medicine.
Maybe that was the origins of medicine, and we moved away from it when we started training doctors by the book.
Yeah, I think that there is somewhat of a trend in the psychiatric community now to back off, you know, medicines to a certain degree. Although there's quite a many doctors that continue to, that's the only way that they'll treat patients. Do we have Dr. Pressman on board with us?
We have good information that we do, yes.
Okay. Hi, Dr. Pressman.
Hi.
Let me introduce Dr. Maury Pressman is Emeritus Chairman of Psychiatry, Albert Einstein Medical Center. He's Emeritus Clinical Professor of Psychiatry at Temple Medical School. His clinical practice focuses on spiritual psychotherapy and the exploration of the human soul. Dr. Pressman's been studying the potential of the human mind and soul for the past 40 years. He's explored the connections between traditional psychiatry and holistic spiritual psychotherapy. He's also done extensive research on death and dying, behavior genetics, and learning disabilities. And his latest book is Living in the Supermind, From Personal Mind to Spiritual Mind. Welcome, Dr. Pressman.
Thank you.
You know, we were talking a little bit before. I mean, unlike many of your mainstream colleagues that practice traditional psychotherapy, I mean, you treat patients through spiritual psychotherapy. Because tell us about some of the differences between the two methods.
Well, spiritual psychotherapy is really conventional psychotherapy. It's Freudian. But it goes much, 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 much further because the mind is much, much bigger and deeper and more powerful than convention would say. For example, Freud thought that the best that we could do, and Freud is the one who really established meaningful psychotherapy, Freud thought the best we could do is to love another person and to work well. Well, we can do very much more than that. as we understand the deeper and higher reaches of the mind, and that is to really feel ourselves as part of each other, the other person being another human, another part of nature. Even a virus, we can do very much more of that in terms of the powers that we have, in terms of understanding each other, in terms of healing each other. Mm. We can do much better than that in terms of power of the mind, such as seeing across the country a thing which our United States Army and the Russian military do in order to spy on each other. So spiritual psychotherapy really is conventional psychotherapy, helping a person to grow into what he, she can be, but to grow into the highest regions of the mind and soul.
Mm. And, you know, in reading Living in the Supermind, I mean, you have many details of patient accounts. And when you talk about recognizing that we're all connected and part of each other, in some patients, I know you've mentioned that sometimes you would actually hear what a patient was going to say before they said it. So I guess when you're treating a patient, you are gathering information from other sources as well as treating them with traditional clinical methods. You integrate both?
Yeah, I do, you know, but frankly, we all do that to a degree, except that we don't trust it. You know, we look at a person, it's not only the facial expressions or the postures, it's a feeling we get about a person. And that's part of our intuitive gateway, which is so important. But I'm trusting that more. It happens to me more. And the more that it happens to me, the more I trust it. And the more I trust it, the more it happens. But it's something that we all can do.
And is it something tangible, like when you're sitting with a patient? I mean, the patient, it
yes.
seems that you bond with the patient on a deeper level. So I think that they pick up on it, whether they realize it or not.
We're absolutely.
Yeah.
We're constantly in exchange with each other anyhow, in terms of the energy that we feel about each other, and
yeah,
energetically really exchange with each other.
And you were talking a little bit before about, you know, the remote viewing process, that
mm-hmm.
good evidence that that our consciousness can transcend time and space. So and that incorporates into what you term the supermind. So I mean, would you, when we talk about the supermind, would you describe it as non-local consciousness, or is that the same thing as a spirit mind in your view?
Yes. It's
okay.
Non-local, but it's also local. Let me tell you what I think the mind is, which is... Let me tell you what I think it is. May I?
Sure. Please do.
Let's call it consciousness, but it's not word consciousness. Isn't it interesting, for example, that each oxygen atom knows where to go to join the other oxygen atom to make an oxygen molecule? You don't have to be a chemist to know that. And isn't it interesting and intelligent that each oxygen atom knows how to attract two hydrogen atoms to make a molecule of water? That kind of intelligence is inherent in everything. And it really is the source of creation of everything. That's consciousness. And I think that the Creator is within us and all around us. And I think the Creator is that kind of consciousness, plus love, plus light. So, in terms of the cosmic mind, or the supermind, it's both all around us, but it's also in every atom of our body. And in the spaces in between. Does that sound like too much?
No, it sounds like a perfect explanation. And this is something that must have been inherent to all of us, but we gradually lost it. We became more reliant upon physical means of communication. But I would imagine that before we had all these this technology in the Industrial Revolution, this was something that was commonplace. We'd never judged it or thought it was something paranormal. It was just part of us. I mean, you agree with that?
I do. I think it's still true, by the way, for the Aborigines and for the Eskimos up in the tundra. They can find, the Aborigines can find water in the middle of a desert.
Mm.
And the Eskimos can find their way across just plain tundras of whiteness and still get there. So they're tapping into a homing pigeon type of intelligence or mind that surrounds them. But by them, I mean Aborigines and primitive Eskimos.
Mm. You're the perfect person to ask this question because I'm sure people ask it to you all the time, and that everybody's always questioning the purpose of a physical existence. You know, if they acknowledge that there are other realms of existence and there's an afterlife, they say if we have more freedom and opportunity in other realms of existence, why do we have to spend time in this dense physical plane? I mean, how do you answer that?
I answer it this way to myself because, I've asked that question of myself very often. But if I were an ant, A-N-T, and I walked up to a brick building, I'm going to see something very, very different from what I as a human being see when I stand back and look at that brick building. As an ant, I'm going to see a certain bunch of pores and some kind of a structure, but I'll have no idea of what it's all about. The same thing's true of our questions. Why this life? You know, why not just go there to that perfect place? We don't have the answer. I have an answer that satisfies me for the time being, and that is that, first of all, God himself, God herself, God itself, in my mind, can't enjoy his, her, its productions because everything comes at once. You have to have limitation in order to enjoy yourself. So God created creation, and he, she, it lives through the creations, enjoys the creations. We are, in fact, the hands and eyes and ears of God. Now, being such, we are living an experience. We are learning. And we're growing into a more and more nearly divine person. It's part of our learning experience as we become more and more nearly perfect. And when we get there, who knows, we'll not only be perfect, but we'll also be able to enjoy the experiences we've had. Best explanation I can give, it's very, very limited because I'm limited. But it's something like that. I do believe in reincarnation. I do believe that we get better as each lifetime goes by, even though it may be a lifetime of suffering in order to learn, or it may be a lifetime of reward.
Hmm. Do you think that might be our purpose here in the physical, is to rediscover once what we once knew and recognize that there are other realms? I mean, maybe that's part of the design.
I think our purpose is bliss. Mm. By bliss, I mean something very special. Bliss is love. When you are in blissful, quiet love, it doesn't mean, you know, high excitement love. That's part of it. But there are other times when you wake up in the morning and you don't want to go back to sleep. You're just in that bliss with that good taste in your mouth. That kind of a bliss pervades everything. Even the people in the Mondazzi concentration camps had something behind all of this, which we call hope, but still the bliss of living. Every living thing has that sort of thing called being. I'll get rid of that in a second. So I think that we experience a kind of a bliss when we are in deep meditation, deep prayer, real togetherness, real kind of love. Whatever purpose there is in this kind of existence that we experience, this bliss of being, the bliss of being together. And being together doesn't mean being a single unit. It means really being together, being ourselves and yet in company with each other, each other being all of God's creations. Best I can do at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good. When you in the book, you also talk about meditation as a good tool to finding that bliss. And you said something for someone that has trouble meditating. You struck a chord with me because I was always of the mindset that said, "Well, you have to attain a completely blank mind." And I always found that difficult. And you point out that maybe that's not even possible. I mean, you describe where you to get a mind still instead of a blank mind. So what's the difference?
Well, when you have mind still, meaning that you know that your mind is perfectly still, there's still a part of you that knows that your mind is still, right? We call that
right. The
witness. I'm not so sure that disappears. I think that's always there, frankly.
Mm-hmm. And the witness being the
self-observing
divine creator?
Self.
Or?
Well, the thing that makes you know you're talking to me now, you're watching yourself talking to me, are you not? As I am watching myself talking and listening to you. That's the witness.
That's
self-observing self. It's very, very important, very powerful.
Yeah. And you also talk about meditation as a mini-death, which I thought was very perceptive.
Yeah.
Is that because in the meditation we get to experience what it's like not to have a body, being this pure thought?
Yeah, when you die, it's only your body that dies. The rest of you doesn't. The essential being that you are doesn't. It lives on and becomes reincarnated. There are stages of dying, and we can talk about that too. But what I really mean is that you forget, you become unaware of the 3D material world, and you get into this serenity, which is what death is like.
Do you think that those of us who have strong attachments to the material have a more difficult transition after they physically die?
Yes. I can give you a good example.
So there's great advantage. So there's great advantage to separating ourselves from the material while we're in the physical and discovering these, our true connections, I guess.
Well, it's good to enjoy the physical. I mean, that's a purpose. But not to be a, what we call in Yiddish, a chaser. That's a pain about
right.
it.
Yeah. Right.
To enjoy it and let it go when there are other things. But if you cling to it, if you think it's the best and only thing, you're going to be scared to death to lose it.
Yeah.
And there are other things which are there, which are good, which are better. I mean, you and I are both getting fun out of this. This isn't just a matter of exchanging words. This is enjoyment as well as learning, as well as sharing. And it's not physical food.
So do you think that in the stage immediately, you mentioned briefly there are, there's probably different stages, after physical death. I mean, initially, do you think that one enters some sort of state of confusion? I mean, after all, if you didn't believe that life continues after death, you have to be pretty confused when you realize that you still exist.
There are different experiences for different people. As a physician, I've seen people die. I witnessed I was by my mother's bedside as she slowly died. And it was a nice experience, much as I love her and loved her. What can I say? Death is easy. It's holding on to life that's hard. How can I ask me the question again? Now, maybe I'm not answering it right.
Yeah. Well, my specific question was I wondered your thoughts on people that immediately after death are somewhat confused when they find out that they still exist.
Yeah. Well, there's an intermediate. When you die in stages. First of all, we're created in stages. The first thing that happens is that our soul, consider the soul like a spider spinning a web out of itself, or a more beautiful image if you want to. But the soul creates from itself various vibrational bodies, the first one called the mind body, the second one, and lower down, meaning less frequency, is called the emotional or dream body, and the last one is the physical body, us. And the physical body doesn't become alive until it's injected, so to speak, with an etheric body or a life body. That's easy to understand because as soon as you see anything die, it immediately loses something. You can just see it. You can see that there's a difference. So, anyhow, when the physical body dies, it's because the life body has left it. And you can see the difference in the person. But the emotional body continues, the dream body. The person is still in a state of half awareness, just like in the old movie Ghost. If you remember, there was in the subway somebody who kicked a cigarette machine. He was happy because cigarettes were all over the place, but he couldn't smoke it anymore because he didn't have a body. And that's the way it is. You still have your emotions and your dreams until they die down or quiet down. You still have your thoughts. They take a while to quiet down. And then you get into this serene, peaceful place called the temporary heaven. In Sanskrit, it's called Devachan, D-E-V-A-C-H-A-N. And there you really see the dearly departed who are always in the prime of life. But in the meantime, there are these stages. There are for those people who have clung to life and control and physical pleasures, the feeling of fear and a certain amount of torture on the way, which they'll get over. A very, very close friend of mine died in his 90s, but he was a very controlling person. And I used to call him on the phone because I love him. And this man is so proud, just began to call out, "Help me, help me, help me." I could tell he was going through this stage of losing control, which was part of his development. He wasn't used to being out of control. So he was going through that intermediate stage. But you get there.
Right. And we are talking with Dr. Maury Pressman. His latest book is called Living in the Supermind, From Personal Mind to Spiritual Mind. Dr. Pressman's website, his name, mauripressman.com, and it's M-A-U-R-I-E, pressman.com. We're going to go to a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking more with Dr. Pressman, so stay with us.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The Camlack Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the Camlack Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlack.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you're just tuning in, our guest tonight is Dr. Maury Pressman. This show is sponsored by Hugs from Heaven at www.hugsfromheaven.com, and Hugs is spelled H-U-G-Z. If you're a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. There are three ways to show us that you like Signs of Life Radio. One, go to Signs of Life Radio page on Facebook and like us. Two, you can use the donate button on any of our weekly email show reminders to support programming. There's also a spaced way to comment on what you love and what you might not like so much about the show. And three, remember us when you shop. Yes, when you shop, you can support the work of our 100% volunteer not-for-profit organization without spending any additional money at all. First, you'll need a credit card to shop online. So if you don't already have one or are in need of another, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out, and each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Second, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website, and again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for in their more than 1,000 online stores like Bloomingdale's, Drugstore.com, Petco, and QuickBooks, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle winners have been drawn. Congratulations to Linda B. from New York, Anthony P. from Florida, Sylvia S. from Texas, George K. from California, and David M. from California. Please don't contact the office. You'll be contacted using the information you provided when you bought the raffle. We also thank everyone who participated in this fundraiser. We are all winners as the proceeds go to support all of the free programs that are provided by Forever Family Foundation. Our Night of Mediums, our annual fundraiser that was held on April 12th at the Melville Marriott, was a huge success. We thank all of our mediums, some who traveled long distances to be part of this fundraiser. Tracy Bray from Missouri, Amy Utzman from Florida, Laura Lynn Jackson from New York, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero from Connecticut, Kim Russo from New York, Siri Bernstein from Massachusetts, Kathy Tell from New York, Ginger Quinlan from South Carolina, Bobby Allison from New York, and Lee Ashley from Tennessee. And, of course, we thank all of our attendees for coming out that night and supporting the work of Forever Family Foundation. Our Grief Transformation Weekend is set for July 26th to 28th. At the Guest House in Chester, Connecticut. The first 50 reservations will fill this intimate retreat escape with like-minded people seeking to maintain their relationships with those who have crossed to the other side. Our announcements have been sent to email boxes, which will tell you all about the exciting weekend with Dr. Garrett Jackson, Paul Alexander, Dr. Betty Kovach, Doreen Malloy, Rebecca Ann Lo Cicero, Laura Lynn Jackson, and our Healing Reiki team of volunteers. And that's it with my announcements. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, and we are back with more, Dr. Maury Pressman. His book, Living in the Supermind, website mauripressman.com. Dr. Pressman, one of the chapters in your book was devoted to the concept of surrender, which I really found interesting. And we tend to think of surrender in terms of something being bad, but you suggest otherwise. I mean, what are some ways that surrender can actually free us?
Am I coming across clearly because you're breaking up right now?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you are coming in clearly. My question was regarding to surrender.
I heard your question. I'll go ahead with it. Surrender isn't the best word, but it's so often used. Another word would be acceptance. So it's really surrender, acceptance. And what it means really is instead of running away from something you're afraid of, let's say an internal fear,
right?
Look at it right in the face. Accept it, absorb it as if you're a sponge soaking up liquid with the faith, the really assured faith, that you'll break through into calm. That will happen, after which you'll be stronger, you'll be more serene, you'll be smarter. So surrender means letting go, stopping for a purpose to control yourself, let happen what will happen. That's what happens when you, any number of things, when you go into meditation. Or another example would be in athletics. I worked, I still do, with Olympic ice skaters. Now, they're well trained, but those skaters who really try to think while they're skating don't do well, no matter how well-trained they are, and you can feel it. And those who really let go, just let the music fill them after they're trained, surrender to the music, surrender to the motion. They're the ones who flow and have a beautiful performance which makes you feel good. That's true of all activities in life. It's a matter of giving up your self-conscious, almost selfishness, self-consciousness, and letting yourself be turned over, once well-trained, to a higher force, both within yourself and around yourself.
So that's one of the keys to accessing the supermind then, right?
That's it.
Yeah. When you have another concept in the book about how we can actually develop, you know, spiritual organs of perception. I mean, you're not talking
right.
in terms of an organ like your liver. You know, you're talking about something for non-physical perception. So is this something that we can develop? The more we use it, the stronger our perception will get?
I once read in Rudolf Steiner, Steiner, a great authority. Anyhow, he had the funny idea that it's not that the eye sees light, it's rather that light created the eye. It's as if when light fell upon a stem cell substance, then an organ was formed. Well, the same thing happens when you let's say begin to pay attention to your feelings, your soft, your subtle feelings, your intuitive feelings. The more you pay attention to the intuitive self, the more you will develop it. It is like developing another organ.
Mm. So, you know, I'm curious, which I should have asked.
The same thing's generally true. If you're a pianist, you know, your hands begin to develop differently. It's not just habit. The portions of the brain which control the hands while you're playing music actually grow. That's now proven with our new techniques of brain imaging. We watch the brain grow that way so that we can develop new organs of intuition, new organs of performance. Mm.
So what advice would you really give to people who are interested in accessing the supermind? Are there specific techniques
yes.
or practices that people can start to incorporate into their lives?
Absolutely. Let me start with the fact that we're pretty much flooded in this world with outside stimuli. We're taught to be very, very busy and active all the time. The first thing to do is to take some little time, maybe 5 minutes, to find a quiet place, really quiet place. It can be outdoors, indoors, anywhere. And just make yourself comfortable. When your body is so comfortable, it disappears, really disappears, except to somebody else's attention. When you're that comfortable and you let your emotions calm down, you get into a peaceful place. When you're that comfortable and there are distractions, mind chatter or an itch, and you just let it float away, you'll get to a place of peace. You really will. And when you get to that place of peace, you are begin to enter the supermind. You can do it by sitting in a chair. You can do it by walking in nature. You can do it by taking a walk down the block. As long as you let yourself become peaceful and open yourself to what comes in when you're in that peaceful, quiet state of mind. There are lots of rules for meditation, but they're not necessary. The big rule is really just to let your attention drift away from your physical self. Let yourself calm down in emotions and become peaceful. Let yourself just open up to serenity by being quiet and looking inside. And then when something comes in the way of inspiration or an aha, then take it and don't doubt it. Just keep it long enough that you'll find how useful it will become.
That's terrific advice, and I'm sure that people can improve their not only their physical lives, but their outlook towards what happens after we die, after using some of these techniques. We have been talking about the supermind. Our guest tonight has been Dr. Maury Pressman. His website is MauryPressman.com. There's 40 years of wisdom in this book. I'd encourage you to pick it up. There's a lot more than what we just touched on, it really is a book that gives you great insight into a world beyond the physical. I thank you for being with us, Dr. Pressman. There's so much more to talk about. I hope you'll join us again some other time.
I would love to. And please let me know how to get in touch with you, will you?
I sure
and
will.
Also, is there a link to this program so I can listen to it again?
Yeah, I'll send you the link that's on our website. And we also have, I should add to the listeners, there's an Amazon link to Dr. Pressman's book and the email that they received today and on our website. So we'll be in touch. Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, take care.
We now ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy for more participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon David Mello, Dorothy Mello, George Daly, Andy O'Brien, Tanya Cash, Miriam Pierzga, Tracy Lee Nash, Flora Prisco, Stanley Mullen, Julie B., Glenna Irwin, Barbara Patillo, David Haith, Rita Springer, Eileen Lafata, Mark Varon, Wendy Lippo, Vicki Steffi, Barbara Russell, Tina Jocelyn, Deb Martin, Tim Donahue, and Francis Straco. And now, let us, as one consciousness, give our energy of loving thought by praying like this: to love one another, to treat others as we'd like to be treated, to forgive others and return love for hate, kindness for anger, to spread this feeling to everyone, to our fellow man, as well as the earth and its environment. And now it's time for us to say,
our loved ones are only a heartbeat away,
and science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.